The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Love Without a Limit. So it always took something to be mature and not laugh. We knew the prayer was coming to an end when she placed olive oil on our foreheads. By the time it was about to drip down our chins, she would say, Amen. To this day, I am not entirely sure why my Aunt Judy and I had a pretty tight bond. We were essentially polar opposites. Maybe it was the way Judy cared for my mom as she battled breast cancer, coming to every hospital to pray over her in the same way she came to our house. Maybe we were more similar than I realized. Maybe the idea that the opposites attract in romantic relationships has some truth in familial relationships as well. Whatever it was, I felt held and loved by my Aunt Judy until I realized our relationship was contingent upon my not identifying as queer, or as she saw it, yielding to the temptation of the devil. I kept my queerness from my immediate family until I was 22. I introduced partners as my friends, lying for fear my family would not accept me. At this time, I had no plans of coming out to my Aunt Judy. Unfortunately, one of my cousins outed me to her after seeing me share about my sexual identity on social media. Suddenly, I rarely heard from Aunt Judy beyond a Bible sent to me in the mail, bookmarked and pointing to the exact scripture that allegedly claimed that who I was choosing to be was wrong. She sent me testimonies from people like Donnie McClurklin, who talked about being saved from being gay. I guess one of my favorite songs by him, We Fall Down, was about a lot more than I'd realized. Sometimes Aunt Judy would send me emails saying she would pray for me to change and making suggestions on which churches I should join in the area. We didn't speak for 10 years. It was a conscious choice on my part, as it felt counterintuitive to have people in my life constantly working against my existence when the world around me was doing overtime in that department. No one wants to be around someone who is not accepting of who they are. Queer and trans people are often left to over-explain basic tenets of respect, as respect seems to be a complex subject when you do not see someone's truth as real. Over the course of 10 years, I wished my Aunt Judy would call to check on me. When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, she sent well wishes and prayers through my dad. When I met my partner, I spoke highly of Aunt Judy, and he recommended that although our once close relationship fell apart, it might be worth reaching out to see what could be salvaged. I reached out to my Aunt Judy, and she acted as if no time had passed and she was just waiting for me to call. I didn't attempt to bring up why I hadn't spoken to her, as she clearly knew. After that, I carried on a relationship with her for my own sake, not hiding my queerness by any means, but setting the boundary that I was not going to try convincing her that I was worthy of love. she still found ways to be homophobic, outright denying that I am queer and saying only a cold hello when she met my partner for the first time, the same person who had encouraged me to reconnect. When my aunt became sick, she didn't tell anyone but her brothers and daughter until long after she had received the diagnosis. She kept her illness a secret, claiming that Jesus makes the final call for our lives, not man. Although our relationship hadn't been the best, I still made the 3-hour drive from New York City to Baltimore to spend time with her. We laughed and teased each other like we always had, but there was also a guaranteed debate about my sexual identity. She later told my dad that she didn't want anyone to know what she was dealing with health-wise, as she didn't want anyone to treat her differently. After wondering what we had in common, I found it both fascinating and heartbreaking that we share the desire to keep an aspect of ourselves and our lives secret out of fear of relationships changing. Black, queer, and trans people are quite frankly some of the most forgiving people on the planet. It's a miracle that we are still connected to love when all odds are stacked against us. I respected Aunt Judy's bodily autonomy all the way up to the day she passed. Although the same consideration was never given to me, it wasn't easy for me to choose a relationship with my Aunt Judy, but some part of me was willing to put myself in emotional harm's way to preserve our connection. When she died, I didn't know what to feel. How are queer and trans people supposed to mourn their homophobic family members? Does the grief process begin when they don't accept us? Do we continue to protect them even in death? I don't have the answers to these questions, but I will continue to ruminate on them as I cherish all the good memories we shared. Aunt Judy always ended her text to me with, "Get ready for the rapture," in all caps. I hope that in her transition, she discovered there was really no need for me to prepare, that God is love and does not command me to change any aspect of my life. The truth is, I will always love my Aunt Judy, although she did not love all of me. The next article is titled, "Lori Harvey Loves Herself. The It Girl is Unattached, Unbothered, and Unconcerned with What Anyone Else Thinks." It's easy to assume you know Lori Harvey. Her name's always in the headlines and on the tip of everyone's tongue, most often in regard to the men she said to have dated. It's easy, almost expected, to think you've got her figured out, that you know what the 26-year-old daughter of a noted fashionista and king of comedy is all about. We can thank or blame the celebrity gossip and news ecosystem for that. And up to this point, Harvey's been fairly silent about all that's come through the grapevine. Because I've been so quiet this whole time, the internet has created narratives for me, she says, with clarity on a recent winter evening in Los Angeles. People are just taking whatever bits of gossip and rumors that they have and then creating that as a truth. In reality, the majority of the time, it's so far from the truth, so it can be tough. Harvey's saving grace has been a piece of wisdom from her mother. For those who know and love you, no answer is needed, But for those who don't, no answer will do. That's where the strong sense of self comes into play, Harvey explains. Just understanding and really knowing who I am and not letting the outside opinions or noise affect me internally. She is quite literally unconcerned with the rumor mill and instead has directed her attention inward because, to borrow RuPaul's famous phrase, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? The result, Harvey says matter-of-factly, is that this moment is about me. We are seated on adjoining leather couches in the dressing room of a South Los Angeles studio. Harvey's legs are crisscross applesauced. She's calm and all smiles, having spent the day shooting her first Essence cover for the Black Love issue. With no man on her arm, she's proud and palpably so. I feel like it's always been about me, attached to something or someone, she says. This time, it's about me. Self-love, self-care, self-reflection. I'm being a little selfish right now. It's my time. Harvey was born in Memphis on January 13, 1997. When Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart ruled the charts. By age 3, she'd already booked her first modeling gig for a kids' clothing boutique called Cotton Tails. The ad ran in a local newspaper. In 2005, her mother, Marjorie, reconnected with comedian Steve Harvey, whom she first met at a Memphis comedy club a decade before Lori was born. The couple married in 2007 and blended their families. Steve adopted Lori and her 2 siblings, creating a family, 7 children strong. As Marjorie and Steve's individual careers and level of visibility grew, hers as a fashion blogger, designer, and socialite, his as a self-help author and game and talk show host, their kids were largely out of the spotlight. It is said they had as normal a childhood as one can, considering these circumstances. Young Harvey first fell in love with fashion when, as a preteen, she started attending major runway shows with her mom. Later, her passion became competitive horse riding. She wanted to go to the Olympics and was training to do so when, at 18, she tore her MCL and suffered a serious back injury in a riding accident. Begrudgingly, she accepted that she would likely never ride competitively again. And with a face card that never declines, she returned to fashion and modeling. About a year later, she walked her first major runway show with Dolce & Gabbana, going on to star in a number of their campaigns. Today, Harvey is an industry it girl with almost 5 million followers on Instagram, and she signed with IMG Models with WME last year. But she's also a businesswoman, having launched her skincare line SKN by LH in 2021 with no financial support from her parents. That has arguably been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but also one of the most rewarding and fulfilling, she says of SKN, because this is the first thing that I've really been able to call my own, that I built from the ground up. It would have been very easy for me to just ask my parents to connect me with people and set it up, and I'll just slap my name on it and go about my day. But I really wanted to learn the ins and outs of the business. I wanted to be very hands-on with everything I was doing, and I wanted to make the mistakes so that I could learn from them and really know how to be a businesswoman at the end of the day. And she's just getting started with plans to branch out into television, digital content, acting, and producing. This is the other side of Harvey that many don't see or talk about. Her drive to be more than a pretty face or the daughter of a celebrity couple is overshadowed by an obsession with her love life. Over the years, more attention has been paid to who Harvey is dating or not dating, a soccer player and an R&B star, a rapper and hip-hop mogul, that mogul's son, and people's sexiest man alive. Many women, especially black women, know this microscope all too well, particularly how it judges those with an apparently robust and active romantic life more harshly than their male counterparts. It can be tough at times, especially because I'm a super private person, Harvey admits. She doesn't particularly care for her personal life to become gossip fodder or the latest news item, and she has tried to protect her privacy as much as possible. But people still talk. One social media discussion pitted Harvey against fictional Cosby Show matriarch Claire Huxtable, asserting that her assumed dating history makes Harvey less wifey material than the character played by Felicia Rashad from 1984 to 1992. The conversation centered on respectability, ultimately saying more about the men contributing to the discourse than about Harvey herself, or about any other woman or femme whose desirability gets filtered through cisgender and heterosexual male gazes. I think a lot of times people are projecting, Harvey says about the online chatter. Typically, what I have found is when it's guys who feel that way, it's because they know that they can't meet you at your standards, which is okay too. Everything ain't for everybody. But what I would love for people to know is that I am a young woman just trying to figure it out. But I'm trying to figure it out in the public eye, she adds. That magnifies everything. It magnifies your mistakes. It magnifies the ups and downs of just navigating your life and figuring it out for yourself. Harvey has been a public figure her entire adult life thus far, and during her early 20s, no less, a time of general self-exploration for most people. But few of us have had to contend with the watchful eyes of millions studying our every move. Yet Harvey has no regrets and no shame. Every decision that I have made has got me to the place that I'm at in my life as a woman, and the mindset that I'm in, and the growth that I've made, and this level of clarity and maturity, she points out. So I don't think I would say I regret anything. Recently, audio from comedian Monique's 2007 special, I Could Have Been Your Cellmate, has surfaced in tens of thousands of social media videos. The joke describes the queen of comedy who revealed she'd been divorced twice and was days away from marrying her third husband at the time of the film's taping, expressing her commitment to love. Never give up on love, she says. I'm a chick that believes if one man don't work, get another one. If that man don't work, get another one. And if that man don't work, get two men. While on the surface, the bit is about pursuing love, but what it's really about is being in constant pursuit of one's own happiness. And even now, after 15 years, Monique taps into the attitude of a certain type of Black woman, or femme, the type who puts themselves first, refusing to have their confidence tethered to speculation and hearsay, the type for whom settling for someone who doesn't meet their needs is antithetical, the type that is undaunted by the journey to love because it puts them most in touch with themselves and their desires. Lori Harvey, whose own alleged relationship journey is captured in at least one fan-created social media video with Monique's words as the score, is solidly in her bad girl era. It's not about being arrogant or about feeling like I'm too good or to this or to that, she clarifies. I know my worth and I know my value. I'm not going to compromise that or settle or accept anything less than what I deserve. It might not seem like it at first, but such a positioning is actually a radical form of love. It's one that challenges and bucks up against how we've been told Black women should move through the world romantically, if not also professionally and socially. She's also decentering of a type of love rooted in patriarchal version of Black womanhood. Harvey knows that she is the prize, and she's part of a generational shift in progress in which many young Black women in the public eye are making their own new rules. They're claiming as their own personhood that is as complex and nuanced as the totality of human experience, as many Black women before them have done. There's Cardi and Megan and Lato, whose raps unapologetically champion female sexuality. There's Lizzo, who, as a fat Black woman, boldly resist anti-fatness and therefore anti-Blackness, triumphantly and defiantly loving the skin she's in and twerking hips out and Sasha flute in hand every chance she gets. And then there's Harvey, who by the very nature of embracing the trial and error of life, despite what public perception may come, models a definition of love many won't understand. In some ways, she's even rejected the act like a lady, think like a man mantra from her father's New York Times bestseller, which became a Will Packer movie in 2012. Rather, she's acting like a boss and thinking like one too. But that doesn't mean she doesn't want love. In fact, when asked about what Black love looks like to her, she speaks longingly of her grandparents' marriage of over 65 years. She describes a love that smells like peaches and cream or honey, a love that feels like fresh air or a warm hug, or like listening to your favorite song. My experience has taught me that I need somebody who respects me, somebody who understands and respects my standards and my boundaries, and is a supportive, God-fearing man, family-oriented, and makes me feel at peace, she says. That's where I'm at in my life right now. I'm not compromising my peace and happiness for anything or anybody. And so if I see any signs of that happening, I'm like, got to go. She's also praying, she says, to be the best version of myself so that one day when I am ready, I will be the woman that I need to be for that union to be successful. But right now, I'm just praying to better my life for myself, growing my businesses and brand, growing my relationship with God, growing into a stronger, better woman every day. Lori Harvey is being selfish, but not necessarily in a traditional sense. Being selfish doesn't have to involve a lack of consideration for others. It doesn't have to be framed as an egotistical or mindful unwillingness to prioritize the needs and desires of others. In a necessary rewriting of the rules, being most concerned with one's own happiness isn't negative in the slightest. It often is the greatest act of love. Put yourself first, Harvey sums up. Love yourself, put yourself on the highest pedestal, and don't ever come down. The next article is titled Live Well Challenge. Essence and Smart Water are starting the year right with the Live Well Challenge, tailor-made just for you. It's officially 2023, and as we enter a brand new year, what better time to set up our health and wellness goals for the new year? In our Essence and Smart Water Live Well Challenge, learn the day-to-day tactics needed to live your best, healthiest life as we enter the new season. The Live Well Challenge 2023 Checklist. Create healthy daily eating habits. Working out your mind and body. Prioritize your mental health. And lastly, setting boundaries in life and business. Are you ready to make 2023 your best year yet? Join us as we become the best versions of ourselves this new year. The next article is titled Essence and Pine Sol celebrates 2022 Build Your Legacy winner, Miss Johnson Jones of Hudson Kitchen. Congratulations on your $100,000 award. For the third year in a row, Pine Sol and Essence partnered to bring one deserving Black female entrepreneur $100,000 to help grow her business. The next article is titled Better Help. Talk to a therapist from the comfort of your own home. With over 25,000 licensed therapists, BetterHelp makes it easy to find someone that you can connect with. Sign up online and get started with 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/emag. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.